This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends off. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back to back. 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo as we take you up to kickoff between the Patriots and Buccaneers. First road game of the preseason for the New England Patriots. Guys, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, same old stuff.
Same old stuff. Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, the commute down here, I'm sure you guys got here slightly earlier than I did, but the commute down
Andy
here.
Didn't.
Well, I sat in traffic for a while and saw a lot of borderline hot women with cowboy hats on. I'm being generous with the borderline. Beefy,
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
Interestingly, many of them were getting out of the vehicles in front of me, running into the woods to urinate, and then getting back in their vehicles.
A lot of Daisy Dukes.
Can only assume they've been drinking, and this was 1:30 in the afternoon. So.
A lot of flannel shirts. Saw a lot of those rocking around as well. And by the way, if you're out there tailgating, you happen to be listening to us leading up to the Patriots game, you can send all your pictures using the hashtag PPGS via Twitter, or you can send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Guys, it's the third preseason game for the Patriots. This is the one where we see an extended run out of some of these starters, theoretically. But there are four main guys that I think most Patriots fans would identify as guys you'd expect to contribute to the team this season. Welker, Chung, Vollmer, and who am I missing?
I don't know. It's your list of four.
Let's call it three then. Out of those guys who we likely won't see tonight, who concerns you the most?
Concerns me the most would be Patrick Chung.
Chung by
because
far. Absolutely.
He doesn't have a backup, but B, this was going to be his contract year where he's healthy and he's going to prove that he's in the same category as some of these quasi-elite safeties in football, and he's already hurt. And, you know, I know they announced a shoulder injury, but he certainly, and some media member, Shalice Manza-Young, has reported the idea. He looked dinged. He looked like there could have been an issue there beyond just a shoulder. That's concerning to me at this point in the preseason. Now, maybe he'll be fine for the regular season. Maybe this is much ado about nothing, but I think he's an important guy on this team, and there's no backup. They don't have an in-the-box, strong safety type that I would feel good replacing him with.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Andy about Chung because, you know, his history flat out scares me. He's a guy that hasn't been able to stay on the field, like Andy said, and, you know, he alluded to the Boston Globe report that Shalice Manza-Young had, and I don't know. I mean, the team announced shoulder. But it certainly looked to me that he was sort of out of it a little bit. And that's what Shalice Manza-Young wrote. And that, to me, in and of itself, scares me. Because if it's a head injury, it could be 2 hours. It could be 3 months. You know, who knows with something like that. All I know is that he wasn't able to practice in Tampa and now won't play in this game. You know, am I ready to jump off, you know, a cliff about it? No, but I want more information, and that one worries me. Vollmer, I have to think, Adam, is just continuing to come off PUP, getting some more reps, and he'll, you know, he's making the progression. Welker, I have a feeling Welker's name is going to be a big topic on this show tonight.
They're already coming in across the Twittersphere.
Yeah, it's one of these things that is sort of, you know, the term going viral on the internet. Is situations like this are what that term was made for, because I find it fascinating that on several occasions in the last week or so, Andy, he's left practice early, right? He's either not been out, he's gone off the field before everybody else, doesn't seem to be injured in any way, shape, or form. Not sure exactly what's going on, and now people are just all a Twitter, so to speak, with Jim Irsay's decision to. It's not glad to be Hayer, as Andy threw out there on another pregame show, but.
That material was not supposed to cross over into this program.
Jim Irsay.
I bring a higher level to this program.
That's trademarked to the
Andy,
the other
our listeners pre-game. Find us no matter where we are.
That's
they
true.
Heard it. They already heard it. But
so what is
Jim Irsay tweeting out that there are, significant, I don't have the exact wording of his tweet, but
the trade winds are blowing.
With like a billion exclamation points.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything that Jim Irsay does has a billion exclamation points.
So how much stock are you putting into the speculation?
About Welker specifically? Not a lot, but it's fun.
Yeah, zero.
Not a lot. But it's great talk show fodder. It's good for the fans. And we talked about this, Andy and I. It's there's a lot of stuff going on right now with the Red Sox. In terms of their guys that they put on waivers and stuff. Football doesn't usually have this kind of stuff.
But it's growing.
But it's getting there.
The Patriots 3 years ago. 3 years ago, they cut Richard Seymour at the end of training camp.
They traded him.
Richard Seymour at the end of training camp. Last year, they had a guy come in that no one had on their radar, Brian Waters, who went on to have a Pro Bowl season. You're seeing less and less of, that can't happen in football. You need a training camp to really get ready for the whole season, blah, 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 blah. You're seeing more of this. And Welker's name's not the only one being thrown around. There's Mike Jenkins, Mike Wallace. There's three or four. There was a report out of Indy that the trade talk was about a cornerback. Not necessarily a wide receiver, but I just think this is entertaining. And even, I threw it out yesterday. I was watching the Cardinals game talk that, they don't have quarterbacks. Even though they gave up the house for Kevin Cobb, he sucks. And they don't have a quarterback. They may be looking to trade for somebody, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, why not Brian Hoyer? Jason Light went from the Patriots front office to the Cardinals front office, so maybe you have some working connections there, and maybe you just get a mid-round pick for Hoyer, because I do think he's better than Cobb. I think Cobb blows.
I think Skelton's better than Cobb.
Yeah. Oh, he is. He definitely is.
That's the guy that started.
But if they're looking to bring in another guy, why not Brian Hoyer? So I just think this is a fun time of year, and it's growing in the NFL into this hot stove trade deadline type talk.
And the reason I think that the Welker situation is so interesting to watch and monitor, I agree with Andy and Adam. I'm sure you do too. There's probably nothing to the trade element. That's fan stuff, and it's fun to just sort of get let's have some fun with this and come up with some sort of rumor. But why is he not practicing full time, and why is he not playing tonight? According to the reports, anyway, we'll see. But
quick report off the Twitter sphere.
I think it's fascinating.
From Jeff Howe is in spirit of due diligence, I asked if Welker could have been the subject of Irsay's tweet. The response, LOL. I don't know who that response is from.
Right. Probably not Belichick. That would be my guess. It is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We are
been
live.
Looking forward to finding out who is actually dressed tonight on the field and who the first one is.
What color their pants are.
Well,
we'll get that when we head up to the press box a little later on here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Multitude of ways to get in touch. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398. That's one, Andy. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com, or tweet at us using the hashtag PPGS. That's three. I don't know if that's quite a multitude.
Is that a multitude, or is that just a trio?
We'll go with it. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care, so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. We'll take your thoughts on what to look for in this preseason game as we get to Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
So maybe not keys so much, because it's a preseason game. We're just trying to dust these bad
during
boys off.
During the show
off.
Prep portion of this program, I thought we talked about not doing keys to the game for the preseason game.
All of a sudden he goes, keys to the game, and he points at both of us.
Well, maybe, maybe not keys so much, but what are you looking for in this preseason game tonight?
I have two very simple ones.
Okay, you can go first then.
How come I heard a guy in the background?
I have one that I'm thinking of that I'm very interested to see, not necessarily key to the game.
My two are simple. It's Tom Brady, walks away from this game healthy and ready to start the regular season, and B, which are kind of tied into A, Nate Solder, compete. Show me something, show improved confidence. I think Adrian Claiborne's probably on that other side.
Yeah, not anywhere near the caliber of pass rush that he's seen the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I just want him to compete. I don't care who it is. Put Dan Klecko out there. I'd like to see him block somebody and have a good game. And I think he needs that. Build his confidence a little bit. Get rolling in the right direction. So those are my two simple ones.
Yeah, nothing could even compete with health. So we can throw. We'll use that as a given. I like Andy's. There's a rookie that I want to see tonight because we talked about Patrick Chung.
Jeff Demps.
Tavon Wilson. I'd like to see. He's going to get some run tonight, I would imagine. He's been involved in the regular defense throughout the summer. He's been the extra safety that's been out there, the money position that's suddenly becoming a buzzword here. He's going to get an opportunity to play with Steve Gregory tonight, I would imagine, and I'm anxious to see how he performs.
Now, do you think the Chung injury, now we obviously don't know the severity. Could be minor, he could be out on the practice field next week, whatever. But do you think the Chung injury could potentially affect roster breakdowns, roster projections, in that, they only really had two starting safeties on a lot of projections, Gregory and Chung. Wilson, I mean, he's a rookie. You don't really know what he is. And some of these other guys are versatile guys.
A guy like
guys.
Will Allen.
Well, yeah, that's a guy I'm thinking of where you say, we need another veteran. We need another guy. Yeah. And I just wonder if Chung's situation could play into that. Or maybe
interesting.
Maybe Wilson goes out tonight and has a lights-out game, and you go, that kid's ready to start in the NFL right now.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because you can have your Malcolm Williams and, a guy like that, or James Ahedebo,
or whoever.
Marquise Cole.
Yeah, I mean, those guys have roles on teams.
Guys throwing Marquise Cole out there.
You know, well, I do like the fact that he's suddenly been eating the media guys. I like that. But
let's try to throw a few extra names in the hat,
Will Allen is a guy that I think that you and I, Andy, probably have on the roster bubble on the wrong side of it. And
yeah, I have Muff.
I do, too. And the reason is I feel like you have younger guys who can contribute more on special teams as backups. If Will Allen's not going to be a regular contributor weekly, then I don't really see the need for 12-year backup safety. And he's not going to have a regular role on defense. But if Chung can't play for whatever reason, and obviously they know the situation more than we do, potentially could that impact that? I would say yeah.
And Will Allen's one of those guys we're not expecting to see playing against Tampa tonight. Third preseason game for the Patriots. Starts at 7:30 against the Buccaneers. Speaking of Tavon Wilson, Brian writes in from New Mexico. Judging by Brandon Merriweather's pre-cut Pro Bowl, it's safe to say most people have no clue what makes a good safety. What specific things are you looking for when you evaluate Tavon Wilson tonight?
Well, range, coverage ability.
That, to me, is the number one thing.
I mean, for this defense that struggles so bad with people getting behind them, giving up plays, I think for him it's range, and then everything goes from there. Tackling ability. You need to be able to make – it's not good enough to just be deep if you then miss the tackle and allow the guy to move on. So tackling ability, especially against a Bucs team that's going to run the football. I mean, Greg Schiano is a run-first kind of guy. They're going to want to pound it. So I think range and tackling ability might be my two big ones.
Yeah, and the angles that you see, he spent a lot of the time this summer pretty close to the line of scrimmage. He's been that extra defensive back that's been more of a linebacker hybrid. He's presumably going to be a regular deep safety tonight. I want to see his range getting over on opportunities down the field, because that was a huge problem last season with the safeties. All of the guys that played, on a fill-in basis, they seem to let guys get behind them pretty regularly. So I want to make sure that that's not happening tonight.
We'll get to your phone calls here momentarily on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. But Matt LePan, we have a few different poll questions up right now on the Facebook page. What are we looking at here?
We're starting out tonight. What starters are you most excited to see? Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork, Rob Gronkowski, Jerod Mayo, Brandon Lloyd. Right now, out of the gate, Brandon Lloyd has an early lead, 38%. And poor Vince. Nobody wants to see Vince. 0%.
Nobody wants to see a nose tackle.
And it's a known, well, I mean, Brady's on there too. I was going to say it's such a known commodity, but, it is. It's a nose tackle.
Well,
someone's got to do it, though, Vince. Someone's got to do it.
But the Lloyd one is interesting to me because, I posted this on the blog the other day. Football Outsiders thinks he's overrated because it was this whole kind of inter-ESPN, how you guys are, promotion.
Yep, indeed.
The big book from Scouts, Inc. had Lloyd as the 13th best receiver in the NFL, and then Football Outsiders, who's also working for ESPN, comes in and says he's not really that good. You throw out the 1 year with Josh where he had 1,400 yards, and he's really been a disappointment. But I do think there's an interesting range of expectations on him. I don't think anybody thinks he's going to stink. I don't think anybody in their right mind says he could be Chad Johnson. and just come in and have 12 catches or whatever. It's like the low end is 50 or 60 catches, and the high end is like Randy Moss circa 2007, big plays, double-digit plus touchdowns, and huge yards per catch.
That's interesting. What do you guys think would be more likely of those two scenarios that Andy just
the lower.
Pointed out?
See, the lower.
I think so, too. I just think...
too many weapons.
And I don't think it's going to be a not knowing the offense thing or anything
no.
like that. It's exactly that, Andy. It's how many... you know, how many catches are there to go around? You know, and is he going to be ahead of Welker and Hernandez and Gronk? My guess
really.
Would my guess would be no.
I did a little research.
So
when Brady has a great year, it's
400.
Right. Yeah, remember I looked that up, Paul, and it was like 2007 last year. They're all within.
So what's Welker? 110, 115, 120.
Well, no, I have him in the mid 80s.
Okay,
I got Hernandez with 100 this year. If
okay,
you really know, but yeah, you're talking about there's a number. You know, it just doesn't go on endlessly to well, this team's going to throw for 700
right.
completions or whatever it may be. So yeah, I just think he can fit in and have a very good year, average 15 yards a catch maybe or something real high, but only have 50, 60 catches, you know, 9, 10 touchdowns because there are so many good guys around him. And I actually think the dynamic of the running backs, you know, a few more dump
could
downs
be.
To
that
the running backs.
Could be another factor.
A few more big plays to the running backs in the air changes everything.
Yeah, and I don't
the screens,
see...
you know, Paul's team's going back to the screen.
I know. Couldn't get enough of it last week, averaging 1.2 per. I just don't think Lloyd is... I have no problem with Lloyd doing all the things that Andy just said. I just don't see him as the kind of guy that could do what Moss did in 2007.
Quick update from Twitter. We also missed one of the rumors that had Patriots shipping Welker to the Jaguars in exchange for Maurice Jones-Drew.
Ah.
That's another rumor.
That's
see,
a good one.
That's one I absolutely positively wouldn't have one iota of interest in doing.
That would be so exciting.
Not to me. A running back.
He doesn't like running backs.
What?
An idiot.
You would
games changed, Andy.
You'd be
no, it really hasn't. I believe Bill Belichick about a week ago said, if you have Corey Dillon circa 2004, you run Corey Dillon circa 2004 or 3 or whatever
it's
the
funny,
hell
he hasn't really been overly clamoring for one, though, since then.
Well, that's because when he tried to get one, he missed.
I know.
He drafted a guy in the first round.
I just don't think that that's something that they would actively pursue. If one fell in their lap or something like that, then that might
well,
be
well, that's
different.
Falling in your lap.
Well, no, that's changing your offense.
Why?
Right now.
Jeremy Ebert slides right in.
So you'd do it? You'd be on board?
No.
No.
So this is just lending credence
this is
to
just
something
point
that
point.
I gotta
none
be
of
honest
us,
with
none
you.
None of us think would happen.
And Andy's going to be stunned when I say this.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I would be interested in trading Welker almost regardless right now.
For a first-round pick?
Well, that would be the...
If you got the Colts first-round pick, would you trade him?
Right now?
Like as of today?
No, and I'll tell you why. I think that's a great trade.
Okay, Paul.
Because you also open up all the possibilities of you know
it's
the
good
Colts.
Value.
The Colts might not be a team that's going to be very good. You could be very well in the Matt Barkley
oh, yeah.
sweepstakes,
sure.
and all of a sudden look at you down the road. But I really think you need to be all in this year. I think they're in a position right now where they're all in.
Yeah, but they're always supposed to be all in, and Bill makes decisions that don't look like you're all in.
Yeah, and I didn't like the Richard Seymour trade.
I didn't either. I actually would like this one more because I don't think it hurts you as much. I think that team needed Richard Seymour. I think Wes Welker, despite the 545 catches, I think this offense could be just as good. My Hernandez 100 catches, Brandon Lloyd, I think you have
I would
weapons.
Do it on one
Boom.
Condition. See, I agree. I think you make sound points right there about the offense.
So make the trade.
I would want to make the trade. As you know how I feel about Welker.
Pull the trigger.
My one concern, Andy...
we're lending so much to something that has no chance. Like, we're going to spend 15, 20 minutes on this.
My one concern would be Brady.
No, but he has Gaffney, who he loves, and Branch, who... He loves them all now, Paul. You're not taking away all his binkies, just one of his big binkies.
And I do agree with your comparison that this would not be as bad as Seymour.
No,
because the offense is so much better.
Right, it's stacked.
And can stand to lose
do you
one
think he
of
would
many weapons.
Do you think he would sulk?
I would.
He
I would,
being Brady.
Yes.
I would make sure that he wouldn't.
I got an
let's put it that way.
On the radio.
He being Brady.
Yes.
No, he in brackets. let's put Eric in.
I don't think he would sulk, and
he,
I think
Brady.
The offense would be fine. I think with Hernandez and Hernandez, we've said it all along, he's a slot receiver. He'll make that up. Boom. As long as he.
I don't have much fear of that. I think this if this offense is, number one in the league right now and, going to score 550 points. So maybe they're number three in the league without Welker and they only score 520. I don't know. I don't know what to quantify in terms of stats.
And maybe you're
I don't think there would be that much of a difference
the best
in the
offensive player in the draft, or as you said, the quarterback of the future.
I mean, I think the Colts are going to be okay. But I'm just, you know, as a total aside,
it'll be even better if they have Welker.
I'm sort of buying into the Andrew Luck thing. I got to watch him against Pittsburgh,
too.
And I don't think they're going to be a train wreck.
Especially not if they get Welker.
All right, so we'll take your thoughts on some of the guys who aren't in this game tonight. Chiefly, Wes Welker, Patrick Chung. You can give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Sebastian Vollmer is another one. Also, send in your pictures if you're tailgating from down in Tampa. You can do it by tweeting using the hashtag PPGS or sending your emails into webradio@patriots.com. Let's hit some of these phone calls. Jeff has been waiting patiently in Las Vegas. He'll kick things off here in the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Just bracing for preseason game number 3 here in Vegas. Our last little taste before we play for real, provided that, you know, the 4th we're just going to be resting with people.
Yeah, let's not pretend you're not going to bet on that one, too. So,
yeah. Matter of fact, you probably already have money on that one.
Yeah, well, that one is going to be especially irrelevant, so maybe just a little bit.
So what's the buzz tonight?
The buzz is, Andy, and Paul might recall this, the Patriots sort of struggle at Tampa in the preseason? Wasn't there that game that Warren Sapp sort of said New England wouldn't amount to anything back in the day? Was that a preseason or regular season game?
I don't recall the Warren Sapp comment.
Didn't they blow him off the field last year?
But I recall last year.
I recall Andy saying, I think Andre Carter and Gerard Mayo, they're going to split defensive player of the year.
Co-defensive player of the year. For
remember Gerald McCoy saying, Mr. Brady, would you please give us a chance to line up or whatever?
Right.
He couldn't keep up with the no huddle and that whole
shtick. That was about as dominant a preseason performance as you could get.
That's when I thought the defense had a chance.
But they have had, Jeff, to your point, they have had some bad outings in Tampa in the preseason, but I don't think it's been for quite a while.
Yeah, okay, so that was the game when the pass rush looked like the 2007 New York Giants pass rush.
Indeed, and we were all lulled into a false sense of competitive defense.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. It's New England is favored by 7 tonight. The total is 44. I don't have a good feeling about this, and it's going to bring us to the Jeff in Vegas Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Here's what's going to happen, guys. We're all ready for Tom to come out, play a few series, look very sharp. We got Hernandez and Gronk, right? Correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. We're going to struggle. It's going to be frustrating. Maybe we'll get like a touchdown or a field goal. It will not go smoothly. What will happen, though, is that I think week 1 at Tennessee, we're just going to, you know, come out and pound them gangbusters. So I'm taking Tampa Bay getting 7 and the under at 44.
Okay.
Interesting.
I like it.
Not only he gave you the play for tonight, but he gave you a little foreshadowing of what's to come in week 1.
I got to tell you, we have all this new imaging, like, you know, the keys and the Eric Scalvino stuff. I like the Jeff in Vegas. That's the best imaging we have. The play of the week.
Yeah.
It gets better in the regular season, too, when people care.
Right. Well, that's true, too.
Because, no, Jeff is our first caller every week. That's a little tradition that we started last year for the PPGS. And Jeff comes through with his...
And during the regular season,
good numbers
there
talk.
Is actually some buzz. And there is some,
well, that's what I'm saying, when people actually
late
care.
Movement and stuff. But right now we'll say, see you, Jeff.
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Alfonso Denard.
Depending on how he actually pronounces his name.
He's on the field in cleats, so he will probably play tonight.
That's a good point. I've never actually seen a guy take part in an NFL game without cleats.
What about Tony Franklin?
He
had a cleat on one cleat?
On one foot.
PX_PatsFan. Has a tweet for you, Paul. What happened to Dennard?
What happened to Dennard?
I don't know.
Originally?
Like, what was the injury?
Oh, his injury was a leg injury. I believe it was a hamstring, according to most reports. Second day of camp, and he hadn't returned until this week.
Jeff Demp's also on the field warming up, although
no specific description
of his attire.
So,
no pants, according to this.
So cleats aside
like
with Demps.
He's like a Uganda baseball player at the Little League World Series.
What are we expecting to see out of Demps tonight in terms of his role, if anything?
I think he could return some kicks.
I would be shocked.
Kicks and punts?
No, kickoffs.
No, kickoffs. Okay. I'd be shocked to see him not at least get one or two opportunities to do kicks.
And beyond that, you know, I thought it was interesting that Ivan really emphasized, we're just throwing him out there. We're throwing him to the wolves and seeing what he can do. So... I actually wouldn't be stunned if the fourth quarter, if they throw him out there and, quote, see what he can do.
Yeah, I think they need, you know, they need to find out.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of time. So, you know, the way they emphasize that, I think there's a chance. But I definitely think you'll see him return some kickoff.
This is, and I have to say, I am one of those guys that's really not all that enamored with the preseason games. But in terms of stuff to follow, tonight's a pretty good game. It's the third game, which, as, you know, Adam, you know, accurately, you know, hyped up at the top of the show. It's the third game, but there's so many things like that. Like Jeff Demps, to me, I think that's a fascinating storyline. And if that was the only thing tonight to watch, that would be worth it.
And kickoffs aside, wouldn't you want to see him out there in the fourth quarter? Whether
Absolutely.
It's with Mallett or whomever, wouldn't you
Absolutely.
Want to see him out there and
I
see what he
see
has
him,
as a
I
running
just
back?
Want to see him run.
Well, as long as you don't get anybody hurt, him or the quarterback.
In terms of pass protection.
Just anything.
I don't
being
think
aware
be,
of what the hell's
I don't
going
think
on.
He'll be picking up many blitzes with Tom Brady out there.
No. But, I mean, I know we don't value the other guys as much, but if the guy isn't ready to compete, then I can't put him out there. But I think he should be.
Thanks, Bill.
Coming from the Charlie Weiss scheme, I mean, I think there's enough carryover. So the vanilla offense they're going to run, the limited offense they'll be running in the fourth quarter, I think there should be a good chance he should be out there and capable of competing.
No, I agree with you. I'm excited to see him.
Bone.
I think there's he just has these random streams of consciousness.
The Bengals are running an inverse bone.
And you got all excited because it was like high school for you.
We were in the wishbone. A little power eye. Jumbo package where I'd run in with my flexin to indicate jumbo package.
he did that just so he could, you know, pretend that he
All right, let's
pipes.
Move on.
I saw that. Well, let's hit
some
of these.
We ran the power eye, but you know, I played in the Stone Age. Everybody ran the power eye when I played.
Before you get the emails PFW Eric has a quick PPGS. He has Demps on the field doing some sprinter-like warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's a sprinter.
What are those? What do those entail? Were those?
My guess is he's doing like 50 or 100 yard sprints where you see him build.
Is that part of the Andy Hart pregame ritual that we're talking about? No, that was not.
I've never been much of a runner. Never been much for warming up.
Let's go back.
I see that as energy.
I've never been much to warm up.
Well, I always see that as energy I could need later.
Right, you might need that at some point. Let's get to some of these emails here. Web
Maybe
radio.
That's why you can have a deke out a would be tackler.
WebRadioPatriots.com is where Matthew from Cranston, Rhode Island, writes in on the secondary guys. Love the show. Just got my second PFW issue on the new subscription. Love to keep reading and hearing from you guys about
that
the safety position.
Just arrived.
starting to feel good about our last line of defense, Chung, Gregory, and even Wilson as the money man. But the cornerback position really has me concerned. And I couldn't believe that I just saw on ESPN that Scouts Inc., which you were referencing, Andy, ranked McCourty the 29th best cornerback going into the year. You guys have been watching at training camp practices. Have you noticed any improvement from him?
I really have not. You know, that was something obviously everybody was watching coming in. It was one of the big stories heading into camp. Would year three be different than year two, like year one? How would it play out? And I haven't seen a dramatic improvement or, okay, he's back. He's got it. Guys were getting by him. You know, good guys like Brandon Lloyd, bad guys like Holly and Britt Davis. But even he's fast. I don't even know what Jesse Holly is. He's just a guy. Hollywood, and I love him, but he's just a guy. And he was getting behind him. So I'd like to be able to tell you, I feel good about McCourty. I don't.
I have to agree.
And I just find it interesting right now, the whole his brother Jason signed.
That's what I was just going to ask. Like, what do we make of him getting this big deal? Jason McCourty coming in as.
And I think Devin went to Tennessee and Jason came here last year. Devin became a starter for Jason under the name Jason in Tennessee. And just made $40 million. I have no idea. It's
just like the draft night phone call.
It's fascinating. Yeah, I have no idea. I didn't even know that Jason was a top level corner. He just started starting last year.
He was a sixth rounder, right?
Yeah,
the year before.
And now he's got $20 million. Yeah, he's a sixth round pick who just became a starter last year. And now he's got $20 million guaranteed as a good but not great corner. And you actually have to think about that for our long term perspective for Devin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as we think he stinks or whatever he is, you know, an extension, a new contract for him is going to be coming an issue around the corner. You know, and he's got a Pro Bowl to his resume, something his brother does not. He's a captain, something his brother is not. And you just wonder where that leads us. Now, that's putting the cart ahead of the horse. The first issue is, can he play right now? Is he competitive?
Right. And I wonder if maybe we're overanalyzing his play a little bit.
Sure.
You know, based on – I wonder how different – he has been during this camp as opposed to last year's camp, as opposed to rookie year camp.
No question.
And listen, I don't remember. I'm certain that I didn't follow as many plays that he was involved in.
We just know that week three of the preseason last year is where he started to show up in a bad way.
That's when we started to notice. And, you know, I don't remember exactly how we looked at him, going back, but I don't think he's been overly impressive in camp this year. He hasn't been a train wreck. I don't want to make it out to be like it was, you know, every single play that he's been involved in. He's been competitive. He's made some plays on the football. He has skills. I mean, I think we all remember what he did rookie year. He can make plays on the football. He has good ball skills. I think he's a tough kid. I think he's physical. I don't think it's a lost cause. I just think, based on what I've seen so far, it has been closer to last year than it was to 2010. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah.
A quick refresher on the Dennard thing. This is apparently a technical issue, a Chris Ferreira monkey issue. This guy who PHX is from Phoenix, big head. Dennard shows up on a Jags box score, and he didn't know if that was something because he is not on the Pats roster via our app. And that caused him some befuddlement.
Oh,
Dennard will be on the field tonight.
Yes.
He's in cleats.
He's in cleats. And update from Mike Reese, Jeff Demps in game pants is warming up. So
excellent.
His junk is not bouncing around. He's got pants on.
Excellent. Well, keep the feedback rolling in. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Send in your pictures. If you're out there tailgating, you can do it there or using the hashtag PPGS. You can also keep the phone calls coming on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We've been talking a lot of Patriots here. We'll get the view from Tampa coming up next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on Patriots.com.
I love this card.
With my Bank of America cash rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
This is Jake Beckett of the New England Patriots, and y'all are listening to the Patriots Pregame Social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo.
It's 5 o'clock.
Just rolls off his tongue. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo.
He's fitting right in here with the Country Fest, right?
Yeah. That's unfortunate for some of the players. Oh, they'll go tomorrow night.
The background music is the guy who's on stage right now.
Really?
Yeah.
What a coinkydink.
Wow, look at the synergy from Matt LePan and Kevin Collins behind the scenes here. That's pretty good stuff.
It's funny. It sounds just like the background music from the last time we came.
I gotta tell you, it's not quite up to the happy to be hair joke, but it's
no,
it's close.
No.
It's rivaling it. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo with the dueling bad jokes. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We will get into your phone calls, 508-298-0398, Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We've talked a lot from the Patriots perspective.
The Red Sox thing just keeps going up and on. Crawford is specifically involved in this deal now.
Apparently the Lakers, feels like the Lakers, but the Dodgers just have endless money and can take whatever they want. And I am going to be the happiest person alive. I can root for the Red Sox.
So we'll
unload all this garbage.
We'll keep you up to
start
speed.
Over. It's like in the old days. The game's not going right. You press the reset button.
That's kind of why I'm so excited. I feel like I've been missing something. I haven't been able to root for this team for a while.
So we'll keep you up to speed on the Red Sox stuff as well. We'll sprinkle that in here.
Fred won't like that.
We don't have to do that.
But we do want to get the view from the other side, and we'll do that by going behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And to do that, we welcome in Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune here to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Roy, when you look at this matchup tonight from a Tampa Bay perspective, we're expecting their guys to make an extended run in this game tonight. What are you looking for?
Well, you know, I think the Buccaneers are, just hoping to maybe keep pace tonight with the Patriots. Even though it's an exhibition game, you know, they're going to have their starters out there for at least a half, probably into the third quarter, if things go the way they expect them to. And I don't think there's any question that New England's at the top of the order now, and the Buccaneers are at the bottom, trying to, you know, regain relevance and respectability and that kind of thing. And, you know, they had a couple of good days of practice with them, learned a few things, but I think they're going to continue to learn lessons tonight. And, it's a tough deal for a team like the Buccaneers, but you know, if they can just keep it competitive and keep it interesting, I don't think they're necessarily looking to go out there and win the game. But although you always want to win, I think their objective is to get some work done and get a little bit better. And if they can if they can match these guys, over a couple of quarters, I think they'll feel pretty good about it.
Roy, you actually used the term keep pace, and that was something they weren't able to do last year. We all remember Gerald McCoy talking about how quick the Patriots' up-tempo offense was. The defense seemed to be overly aggressive and catch the Bucs off guard. Was that a discussion at any point this week in making sure that didn't happen, that they were indeed able to keep pace and remain competitive?
I don't know if it was a discussion inside the meeting rooms of the Buccaneers themselves. The media certainly asked about it, but at the same time, you know, I think that's been the objective all preseason. You know, you want to get these guys to a level where they can play against any team in the league and keep pace with them, and then you certainly want to get past that. So we're to the point where they're trying to keep pace with you. Bucks have a long way to go in that regard, and I think the organization knows that. At the same time, they've done some things, on the offensive side of the ball for sure that give you an indication that they should be able to keep pace offensively against New England. It's not that young of an offense. It's got an offensive line that they think is probably the best in franchise history. They've certainly got a quarterback they think can be one of the better players in the league, and they get some receivers who who have some bona fide talent. They've got some pretty good running backs. So offensively, I think they're in a position where they should be able to keep pace. The real question becomes, can the defense get a pass rush going? Can they force the issue a little bit with Tom Brady in the pocket? We'll have to wait and see on that.
How about the coach, Roy? How about the transition to Greg Schiano, obviously a guy that Patriots fans are familiar with because of his relationship with Belichick, but how's that transition gone?
I think it's going pretty well. You know, the good news is that everybody's bought into his approach, which is a completely different style of coaching than what they were used to here with Raheem Morris. Raheem Morris was, he was your best friend. He was maybe the epitome of a player's coach. He was their buddy, and he didn't always coach that way, but, I mean, at the end of the day, that's who he was. Greg Schiano's a little, totally different. He's like a drill sergeant, and he's out there to make you a better football player, to make the team a better football team. And it's a rough road along that way. And he's doing what he can. I think he believes he's got enough talent to make this thing work, but maybe not all the talent he needs. So we'll see how it goes in the long run. But so far so good. The biggest thing when you've got a coach like this, who's a disciplinarian and a little harsher than the guy you were used to before, make sure you got everybody buying into your program. I think you got rid of the guys who weren't going to buy in or might not, weren't sure they were going to buy in. I think he's got, right now he's got 90 guys, or I guess it's 87 technically, who are clearly buying in. And I think if that continues, sooner or later, this is going to work for him.
You know, there's been some discussion, and obviously Schiano spent some time observing training camps up here in the past. Have you seen anything? Is there a Belichickian style to the way he's running things down there? Has he taken some pages out of the Patriots playbook and the Patriot way?
You know, I think he has, but I got to be honest, not having seen how Bill Belichick runs a practice, for example, it's hard for me to say, but I don't think there's any question that they've spent enough time together and compared enough notes that I know for a fact that Greg Schiano has taken some things that Coach Belichick uses or an approach that he certain things he does, and he's tried to make them his own. He's trying to incorporate a lot of those philosophies and thoughts, and it may be something just as simple as how to run a drill or how to communicate to the players at a certain moment in a practice. It may be mostly little things like that, I think, but other than that, it would be silly for a guy like Coach Schiano not to listen to somebody like Coach Belichick. You got the opportunity to get close to this guy and hear him out and hear what he has to say about how he's become so successful and what's worked for him. You kind of be stupid not to incorporate some of that into your own program. And, Coach Schiano said that this week. He said, it wouldn't do me any good to ignore this, put my ego up there and say, hey, I don't need to listen to this guy. And I think he sent that same message to his players this week, telling them, hey, this is one of the, three best football teams in the National Football League. Watch how these guys practice. Watch how they prepare. Watch how they, run through a drill. If you see something there that you don't do, think about making it something that you do. And I think there was a lot of that going on this week.
Roy, you talked about Josh Freeman a little while ago. He looked like he was, you had something a couple years ago and maybe he took a step back last year. Where do you kind of see him? You said the Bucs thought that he could be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Where do you see him sort of fitting in, and what are some of the reasons why maybe he did look like he took a step back last season?
I think it was one step forward last year and two steps back, which makes you, I guess, one step back, as you said. And I think a lot of that, and Josh will tell you this, a lot of it was overconfidence. You come off a season, your second year in the league, your first full season as a starter in the NFL, you throw 25 touchdown passes and only 6 interceptions, you probably come back thinking, hey, I got this. And one of the worst things you can ever do in anything, especially in the NFL, is say, I got this. And I think Josh kind of felt going into the season that if I make the throw, it's going to go where I want it to, because that's what happened the year before, and it happened so easily. I think he found out that overconfidence was a problem, and it kind of bit him repeatedly last year, and eventually he figured it out, but then, about the time he figured that out, players were quitting around him, and, he had a lot of drop passes, and things just never really got going the way he wanted to. But at the same time, his completion percentage was up last year, his yardage was up. He was in a situation last year where he was always throwing the ball, always playing from behind. That's difficult to deal with. But I think he learned a lot from that, and what the Bucs have done with him this year is they say it's kind of like hitting the reset button, but I'm not sure it's that simple. What they've done is they've explained to him the value of throwing the ball away on certain downs, of looking in other places, of living for another series, another down. And I think if he learns that lesson and gets his mechanics right, his feet weren't right last year a lot. I think if he gets those two things corrected, if he gets his feet right in the pocket and starts making better decisions with the ball, he's going to have the success that they expect from him, and he's going to be the player that they want him to be.
Roy, obviously everybody knows about the Patriots' skill position players on offense and how great people think this Tom Brady-led unit can be, but one of the big questions up here is the offensive line, especially the tackles, the young tackles, Marcus Cannon, Nate Solder. What kind of a pass rush can the Bucs throw at those guys tonight, and how has that group looked as they come together? You talked about being a young group. How is that group coming together up front for the Bucs?
It's coming together slowly. They've really been hit by injuries, and that's kind of slowed the development of guys like Gerald McCoy and now Daquan Bowers, who's not playing right now. He's got an Achilles tendon. We'll see if he can get through this season and play at all. But, the injuries have really slowed this group. They made a change at nose tackle now with Brian Price being moved, and now you got Roy Miller back in there. They feel like they've got the talent. It's a matter of it coming together, and so far in the preseason, what we've seen from these guys is an ability to penetrate. They're getting through the line. They're causing some disturbances in the backfield with the quarterback. You know, one of those pressures last week led to an interception. That's kind of stuff you want to see. But in terms of sacks and hitting the quarterback, they're not finishing there. And so they'd love to see that tonight. Now, is it possible? I don't know. The Patriots may think that they've got, the other offensive line's a little bit of an issue. But for the Buccaneers, it's a big challenge still. So, if the Buccaneers can make some, can pressure Tom Brady a little bit tonight, just force him to throw the ball away a couple of times, they'll probably feel like they scored a victory here in that regard. But the bottom line is sooner or later they got to start closing the deal up front. If not, they're going to have to bring pressure. You're always going to have to bring it sooner or later, but they don't want to have to bring it on every down that they have to get to the quarterback. They want to be able to get to it with three or four linemen. And so if they can do some of that tonight, they'll feel a lot better about where they're at.
Talked about one of the matchups for the Patriots offense against the Bucs. On the other side, switching it around here, how about Vincent Jackson, and what kind of pressure can he put on a Patriots secondary that, despite all the winning that the team did last year, really wasn't very good? How's Vincent Jackson fit in?
He fits in extremely well. In fact, there probably is not a more important addition to this team than Vincent Jackson, because he gives you a lot of things. First of all, he gives you a number one receiver, a legitimate number one receiver, which the Bucs probably lacked. Mike Williams looked like that 2 years ago, but last year I think they realized he's probably a little bit more suited for a number two role. So he's a legitimate number one receiver. He's a deep threat. That's the other thing. He is a legitimate deep threat, and he's going to draw a double team, and that's something the Bucs were missing last year. Is, a lot of times Josh Green would step back to throw, and he looked for an intermediate pass, and everybody's covered. With Vincent Jackson out there, he should be able to find an open receiver somewhere. And, if that leads to, Vincent Jackson catching 60 balls this year, so be it. Because what it means is guys like Preston Parker and Mike Williams and, eventually Aurelius Ben are probably going to catch 50 or 60 themselves. And, then you've got an offense that's moving the ball. And I think the running backs are going to benefit as well from the fact that Vincent Jackson is going to pull some people out of the box and just force defenses to respect the passing game or the threat of a deep pass. And if he does that, it's going to open up the offense in every way possible. So then it comes down to a matter of execution. So, again, like I said before, they've got the pieces. It's really just a matter of executing on that side of the ball.
All right, he's Roy Cummings. You can check out his work in the Tampa Tribune. Roy, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it, Roy.
All right, Roy Cummings joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We get you a look at the other side from the Tampa Bay Bucks perspective. We're leading up to Patriots and Buccaneers 7:30 kickoff here. Matt LaPan, you got an update to our poll question on the Facebook page?
We actually have a new poll up.
Ah.
And it is, who should return kicks tonight?
Demps.
Both punts and kickoffs.
Demps.
Edelman, Demps, Woodhead, or Vereen, and Runaway. Jeff Demps, 100%.
Nice. That's how it should be.
100%.
I want to see him show his speed. That's all I want to see. I'd be happy. Show me the opening kickoff of this game, and I'll leave. I'll go home. No, really,
well,
can I?
No, I'll do that.
But, no, I mean, that's the most intriguing thing that could possibly come out of this game, that you could see, would be Jeff Demps and how fast he is. Does he look comfortable? Or does he look like Jeremy Ebert back there and balls flying over his head and he can't get a handle on it? Does he look like he's ready to compete at that level? Even though, I think that's one of those things that if you're good at it, you're good at it for the most part.
I couldn't agree
more. You don't lose it.
I don't think there's a whole lot of, transition period that needs to take place for a guy to show that he can be an effective kick returner. I mean, I'm not dismissing the element of scheme. I just don't think it's that much of a factor. It's instincts and its speed and just ability to run with the ball in the open field.
Musical Refugee chimes in with something that I was thinking. At Jumbo Heart, man, this reporter can talk. Yeah, Roy Cummings had a lot of words there.
Yeah.
So Dunkin' Donuts he Patriots did, pregame social.
You get the impression that Tampa Bay is very much looking forward to being a hell of a lot more competitive in this game than they were last year.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been a big point of emphasis.
Yes.
Well, they were embarrassed in that game last
year. And not just preseason, but this year in general, right? Like 2 years ago, I think they were 10-6. They're building towards something. You referenced Freeman, who had a very good year 2 years ago.
And I didn't realize it was that good. 25-6.
He was bloody lucky. He had all those comebacks, and he would make throws I thought the 10-6 record,
I would say, was bloody lucky, as you would say.
Oh, I thought the plays
were
bloody lucky.
But 25 touchdowns and 6 picks, it's kind of hard to go through a whole season and be, you know, have that that chalked up to just luck.
You're so entertained by this Red Sox stuff.
This Red Sox thing is unbelievable.
I think somebody should
Sherrington. I didn't think a team could be stupid enough to do this.
You traded for a guy who blows, has $120 million left on his deal, and had Tommy John surgery this week.
And we have no idea what they're getting back. You guys said you don't care. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots.
I don't care seriously, if they lost those four players and literally did not get anybody in return, I would consider that an absolute coup by Ben Cherington.
Yeah, all the guys that are coming back are all scrubs.
I don't care. I am just happy to see those guys go. VIP strippers wanted us to ask Roy what the best strip club in Tampa was, but I didn't.
I think we know the answer to that.
He didn't
strippers,
get to that one.
Mons. Anthony Hargrove got cut today, huh?
Yes, he did. He did.
Should we play the role of Patriots fan? Should they make a run at him? You know, for the end of the season?
This is beyond Sean Merriman from last week. You got the same answer for Sean Merriman.
I'm all set.
Yeah. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch a few different ways. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Also send in your tailgate pictures there or using the hashtag PPGS on Twitter. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And Andy, what?
Somebody sent in a picture of a strip club.
Did you see Stripper's photo? It's the one Perillo was talking about on Thursday.
Pick.
The Odyssey 2001 or whatever it was.
Free game pick. Let's get to some of these phone calls here. Melvin is in Tennessee, and he's been waiting patiently. What's going on, Melvin?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Great. How are you?
Pretty good. I just had a little analysis that I saw last night. They forced me to watch this Tennessee versus Arizona hot garbage yesterday while I was at work, so I did notice a couple of things. I noticed that the Titans brought a lot. Well, I think that defensive ends were pretty good on as far as the pass rush was getting to the Arizona Cardinals quarterback. So that's going to be my main concern tonight is just sitting around and watching, well, seeing if Cannon or, you know, even Soder can handle this pressure. Because I won't say people are kind of overlooking the Titans, but I think that they can do, they can bring, obviously, a pass rush, especially from the defensive end position. And they have some solid receivers out there. They're right guy, I think, that they drafted. So he seems to be, you know, fitting in quite well. So I think I heard maybe Paul the other day or another week say that I guess it wouldn't get any good competition until later. Probably the Ravens, Graham. I think that would be the best one. Yeah. But I think we'll see a little bit of something week one. You know, I think that we can see if they can handle even a
bad team. They do. You're right, Melvin. They have some individual talent, and Cameron Wimbley would be one guy. If Solder is still a topic of conversation, 3 weeks from now when they're ready to do this for real, Cameron Wimbley would be a guy that I would be concerned about. But I watched a good portion of that game last night, at least early on last night, and I'm very confident in a 2-0 start to the season for the Patriots playing Tennessee and Arizona in weeks 1 and 2.
Right, those are the first two opponents.
But Melvin's right. I mean, you got a guy like Chris Johnson who can make you look silly. I mean, that's an elite talent. I think Kendall Wright is a good receiver. I got to think Kenny Britt will be not eligible for that game capacity. That's a big advantage. They lost Mark Mariani also, but for the season, he broke his leg returning a punt last night. He's a very dangerous return man. That's one less thing the Patriots will have to worry about. Yeah, like I said, there's some individual ability there that you have to be concerned with, but I don't think that team is anywhere near the caliber of New England.
Yeah, of course, I wouldn't think that there would be a contender, but if they're somewhat struggling with that pass rush and struggling with those receivers, now I'm getting nervous. There's no way I should be just as nervous as a fan on 3rd and 8 as I am on 3rd and 38. My goodness gracious. Even Patty Chung was let DeSean Jackson get behind him, even though on that play that Michael Vick had hit and hurt.
That's
correct. He was still behind him. I was still nervous about that, just like Torrey Smith in the AFC Championship game.
Melvin, you're absolutely right.
You know, it's nerve-wracking to sit up and watch stuff like this. So if they're letting Nick Washington and this little rookie, you know, embarrass them on week one, I'm going to be nervous. You know, it's nerve-wracking watching, you know, these defensive backs and, you know, even this pocket collapsing on these quarterback, Mallett and Corey so quickly. I mean, you know, it's going to get a lot uglier. And if they can't handle Tennessee, I hate to see the Ravens or, you know, San Francisco, for goodness, with both those Smiths. Psycho men, you know, running down on Brady. You know, I just want to see if they can handle somewhat of some talent on week one. You know, it won't be much.
That's the benefit is you get the test later.
You break it in.
Yeah, you work into it. They're all going to be tests. Every team has a competitive defensive end or pass rusher for the most part. So you're going to get tests, but at least you don't have to face Houston and San Francisco and those teams till later on. And even, I mean, Baltimore without Suggs is a far lesser opponents, so they have time. You know, Dante said this week there were growing pains with Matt Light too. Now Solder has a chance to have maybe some growing pains without absolutely getting embarrassed by somebody like Aldon Smith or Justin Smith or, you know, Brooks Reed and the guys with Houston that can throw J.J. Watt.
And I'd also say that, you know, listening to them talk about the game last night, Arizona's offensive line is in complete and utter shambles.
Did Rich Orenberger play?
He did.
Really? Yeah.
He did at one point. I don't know if he started. I wasn't watching
Levi
that closely,
Brown is out,
though. I
did
see him. Yeah. And I heard Larry Fitzgerald at the end of the game give him a shout-out.
Did you hear my proclamation, Adam?
I don't think I did.
I told you to start listening to PFW in Progress. That was your homework last week.
Oh, right. No,
so that
I
you'd be better prepared.
I thought my homework was learning the name of the show. I had to listen
but
to it.
But that is part of it. Okay, no. Well, now you have to listen to it.
Okay,
I have proclaimed, much like people say there's not enough quarterbacks to go around, there's clearly not enough tackles to go around either. We have a team right here who... The right tackle stinks. The left tackle's young. You know, Arizona. There's not enough tackles anywhere in this world. The Jets. I mean, there's these teams that want to compete for playoff positioning that don't have competitive tackles.
Give us
not enough. So you should have a big, fat, tall kid.
I will do my best.
And Matt LePan just pointed to himself.
Throw on a jersey, LePan. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com, just like James did. Guys, firstly, instruct Adam to always read my emails. I'm very important. And if he plays his cards right, who knows? iPad? Maybe a new car? Got a game to play instead of over-under. I'd like Andy and Paul to set the line for the regular season. Adam, you may not join this week as you ignored my email from the last 2 weeks. Now, quickly, we did do over-under last week. I'm pretty sure I read his email last week.
Yeah, but I don't think it was from James.
No, it wasn't from him.
Oh, it was a different over-under.
You ignored his email.
Look,
Mark from Cheddar always has good games, too.
I read the emails as they come in order, so I apologize, James. Ready? We're going to set the line here, boys.
Set the line.
Jeff Demps, receptions and carries.
14.
Wow.
I'll say 10.
10. All right, I'm not
I'm
allowed.
I'm taking the over.
I'm not allowed to play. So 14 and 10 are the numbers you guys set. Spikes and Cunningham, games played combined.
Spikes and Cunningham, games played 25.
Yeah, it's a good number.
So I'm sorry, circling back to Demps for a second here.
I don't think Demps is going to get a lot of offensive
You were talking about
reps.
Tonight, or you were talking about for the season?
Season.
Okay, I assume tonight. Sorry. Spikes and Cunningham.
I'm pretty sure he said
games played.
Maybe that's why you're on James
combined.
Because otherwise, Spikes and Cunningham games played
25.
No, 2 would be tonight.
No,
they're both going to play.
I understood Spikes and Cunningham.
Well, that's the same game. Didn't change between
idiot.
Two questions
for the regular season. Going back and reading the fine print here, James. My apologies.
Isn't your job on the show to be able to read and speak and control things? We're the idiots.
Right.
We're the talent.
Reading is not a strong suit of mine.
Blah blah blah. Blah.
Nor is math. Ninkovich, sacks.
How about speaking? Because if you say no to that, then you might need to find
a
new career.
Speaking is not high on the list either. Ninkovich sacks.
Ninkovich sacks.
6.5. He's going to have less than a sack.
No, 6.5.
Oh, see, I thought the same thing. 6.5, not 0.5. Gotcha.
He had 6 last year, so I'll take 6.5.
I didn't know that.
Chandler Jones sacks.
He might have had 6.5 last year.
6.
0.5.
Because I think he's going to have six, and I want to have the ability to have the under.
Gotcha. So you're both 6 and 6.5 on both Ninkovich and Jones.
Wait a minute. Why do you need the ability to have the under?
I don't know. It made sense when I said it.
You should have seen the look on his own face as he said that.
Amount of times that Tom Brady is sacked.
32.5.
I'm going to go 30.
No, you can't have a half a sack on offense. You can only have a half a sack on defense.
Running back fumbles.
Running back fumbles.
4.
2, 1, 3, 7.
Okay. Team interceptions. Wow.
If Demps and Ridley get going, I mean, they fumble a lot. It is what
it is.
That
is true. I just don't think Demps is going to have any.
Team interceptions.
He's going to have 14 touches, at least.
I said 10.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. What's the next one?
That would be, for the season, boys, team interceptions.
Oh.
Interception.
20.
I'm going to say 27.
27. Wow.
Team big number. It's a big number. Ian.
Team Pro Bowl selections.
7.
8.
Okay.
He's very positive.
Yeah. Left tackle. Holding penalties. Away games. Out of division only.
What?
I'm just reading them as they come in.
Now he's just effing
James,
with us.
James.
Go screw yourself.
Listen.
That was the last one.
Just because you mock me does not mean you can mock me.
You own me, but, you know, let's not make it painfully obvious to everybody.
It's like one of those.
So you're not going to answer the last one?
No, screw him.
All right. James, I read the email this week. I'll make sure to bump him up.
Maybe you can play next week.
Yeah, maybe I'll be allowed to play next week.
Get out the sandbox and play.
If I can read. If I can learn how to read. You can give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. When we come back, we'll get into the Patriot with the most to prove tonight against the Tampa Bay Bucs in the third preseason game for the New England Patriots. We'll do that next here on Patriots.com.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new 2-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparello on the Patriots pregame social.
Second and final hour of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Dante Hightower has been in the studio.
How about Andy
on
being
PFW in progress?
Andy's up on the tunes, huh? Up on this one? He's up on like his country music and whatnot.
Well, he does like country music, but this one is very...
You're on this? You're up on this?
Well, it's like a top 40 song.
No, I mean, I'm up on it. I'm up on it. I just didn't know if, you know...
Well, but what I'm saying is I can't imagine anybody who's ever heard music hasn't really been up on this.
Ever heard music? So somebody's sitting in like the theater somewhere listening to Mozart starts going, whistle, baby.
Surprise Andy knew it. I'm even more surprised Paul knows it.
I think I heard TJ singing it last night.
It's not appropriate.
Dunkin' Donuts,
no.
Patriots pregame social.
No. I don't know if you know, but
it's not exactly the cleanest song.
Not really talking about a whistle.
No, I was
What are they talking about, Andy?
You know,
a flute.
I was surprised which linebacker we chose.
I always
in the
like
rejoin
to see how
to
he
song.
Answers those questions.
That was that's what I was saying. But it's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame.
Good thing we
social.
Didn't have Brandon Spikes as part of that.
No, that was
there.
That was
that would not have worked very
just
well.
Going with you. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here on Patriots.com, a reminder, Dunkin' Donuts can make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care, so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Just so you know, the PFW staff has a long overnight tonight, putting the paper out. And Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, very excited because we're having a Dunkin' Donuts delivery around 2 a.m.
I was going to say, they're going to bring it to you. You
don't
have to, you don't have to fight Country Fest traffic.
We got a couple frosted coffee rolls coming in, some coffees. Yeah, none of that healthy, like, normal sandwich stuff. We're going right to the stuff that's going right to Paul's gut.
I might stay tonight.
And Andy's head.
we'll keep everyone up to speed on that. You can weigh in on your...
So, we don't, you know, they're not just a sponsor. We actually live the Dunkin' life.
You run on Dunkin'.
PFW runs on
you
Dunkin'.
You run on Dunkin'. You can keep the phone calls rolling.
Send that to them and tell them we got a good read.
508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Before we get to those, I asked you, or at least tossed out the question... which Patriot has the most to prove here? In the third preseason game, we should see an extended run from a good chunk of the roster tonight. So I ask you guys, who has the most to prove?
Well, what do you mean by that?
In terms of making the roster.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted clarification, because Nate Solder would still be my answer to that. But
so in terms of making the roster or not, who
I
has to
I am going
to
go
himself?
With a couple guys, one on each side of the ball. I'm going to go Dan Copen on offense. I think he is very much on the roster bubble. Lack of versatility, hasn't performed real well. Don't know if he's at full health. And the other side, Trevor P. Scott. was the last guy to make my roster when I just did a recent 53-man roster projection. I don't think he's done much against competitive talent this year, and I'd like to see him maybe get some reps out there and see if he can play against, you know, what our boy Roy Cummings said with a lot of words about a very good offensive line they have down in Tampa.
I will take Andy's lead.
Alienate every guest.
He does. It's amazing.
You guys are so concise, by the way.
I will try to go with one on each side of the ball as well.
Is that supposed to mean?
we both tend to ramble a little bit.
Have you ever heard ESPNBostonRadio.com?
I think he's
all that. That was rambling. That was all there was.
No, but neither did anybody else.
Phil.
offense. I'm going to go Dante Stallworth. For a
you're
guy
just
who's
looking to cut him.
Well, I think he's
why
on
you
the,
get a hate?
I think he's on the bubble. Are you just looking to cut Dan Copen? I don't think you are, but you think there's a chance he could get cut.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, I actually, that never happened before. I don't even know how to react. Dante Stallworth to me is a guy who looks to me to be behind the other veteran receivers based on the first two preseason games. So I think if he gets opportunity, he played a lot the other night. Branch played a lot the other night. I don't know how
you might
Belichick
not see
is
a lot of Branch. Welker not out there.
Yeah.
Gaffney not out there. So, Stallworth might have some chances.
So
here.
Maybe he gets a chance. It would be in his best interest to take advantage of
some
of those.
Did he not play a ton of snaps last week?
Stallworth?
Yeah.
I thought he did. Yeah. That's why I'm saying.
No, that's his point. He needs to make some plays.
Right.
He can't just be out there. You got to show up.
Yeah. In the second half last week is when I sort of started to rethink my Dante Stallworth is going to make this team.
On that play down the right sideline when he didn't
He had three deep balls in the second half, none of which he either didn't get any separation or didn't make a play on the ball. I think that's what he's supposed to be here for is a one, you know, I don't think he's going to get 35, 40 snaps a game. I think he's going to be out there, you know, if he's on the team, 5 or 10 times, you know, at most, and he's going to need to maximize his chances. I don't think he did that last week, and I don't think he's had a great camp.
So Dan Copen, Trevor Scott, Dante Stallworth, those are some names these guys came up with. You can weigh in, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline or email us webradio.
Well, you were babbling. You didn't have time to go with your defensive
Did you have
guy.
A defensive one as well?
Not
you're going to squeeze it in before the end of the show?
It will be the
we
same,
only got an hour left.
It will be the same position as Andy
sorry,
on defense.
Sorry, Roy Cummings. I'm sorry.
But I think he's got the guy that's more in trouble, and that's Trevor Scott. I would go – I would bring up Jermaine Cunningham. I'd like to see him build off of what he did last week.
I don't think he's in trouble.
See, even when you don't ramble, he just finishes sentences for you.
Well, that guy,
he needs to talk.
Well, I clarified this question to start.
And he's got a lot of locks
over
there.
Told,
did you notice that?
Who is
Cunningham, Francis. There's a lot of locks over there.
Well, I was told to pick a guy who was in a fight for a roster spot, and I don't think Cunningham is.
Okay, well, then you disagree with me. That's fine.
Oh, so you think he's in a fight for a roster spot?
I think he's probably on the team, but I don't think he's a lock. No, I don't. I think he's still fighting for a job. Yes.
No, I don't. I think he's on the team.
All right.
Along with Justin Francis.
Yes,
couple
I think
of,
Justin
those
Francis
are a couple of
team.
Andy Hart
He's
locks.
He's got an 82 man.
A couple of Andy Hart locks.
All locks. You can read it on blog.pfwonline.com.
Right.
53 guys.
Or hear it on PFW in progress during the week, right?
You you should listen. You'd know something.
You can check it out
quick,
there.
Quick Twitter.
What's Andy Woodhead?
I think he could get cut. I've said him since the spring. I don't think he will, but I think he could. He's not getting cut, Matt LaPan. He could, but he won't. Quick update.
He just got Perilloed by Andy Hart.
Quick update off the
so he could, but he
dismissed
won't. Twitter he could,
sphere.
But he won't. So he's is he not a lock?
I guess we're just going to get mad now because we keep talking.
Well, it's supposed to be a Twitter-driven show, and every time I try to chime
not.
In. Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It's pre-game social. It's supposed to be interactive and Twitter and Facebook-driven.
I believe it's the largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans
you
of New England.
You actually have to
read it every time
you actually have to read that after your little cheat sheet there.
Yeah, no, I had to read that. I had to read that. And PFW in progress. Those are two things I wrote
down. I had to read it. I was looking.
Patriots in their blue jerseys with silver pants, Silmer helmets combination.
Silmer helmets, okay.
Bucks in pewter pants with white jersey, pewter helmets combination. That's courtesy of Mike Reese.
Got to tell you, I like the Silmer. Let's roll through some of these emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. That's where Steven writes in. Guys, been listening for a couple of years, but this is my first time emailing in. I've been seeing a lot of speculation on message boards that Welker may be traded soon, and that's why he didn't practice yesterday. Some think that Welker is playing Jim Irsay, the player that Jim Irsay meant when he tweeted about trading for a veteran and that the trade would be for a Colts first rounder. Do you think it's possible, and would you be in favor of it? If so,
is it true that somewhere in that tweet he had some phrase capitalized and it was WW? Both were capitalized.
I didn't see that one. I just saw the trade winds are blowing with like a billion exclamation points.
Somebody asked us about
that.
That could have been a subtle clue that he's talking Wes Welker. He capitalized two W words.
Uh-huh. He was looking for William Wallace.
But you guys said earlier, no credence to that.
I love what I just discussed, Andy.
Well, there's no credence to it, but we've been surprised before. We would have said no to the Richard Seymour train right up until it was announced.
And that's the one. If anybody had said that to me about Seymour, if anybody had said that to me about Randy Moss at the trade deadline, I would have had the same reaction. So, yeah, no, I don't think there's any chance that Wes Welker's traded. But
I wouldn't put Welker and Moss in the same category. I thought there was a chance in that.
No double W.
It surprised me.
You didn't share it with anybody then.
No. But I think they're in different levels of surprise. Seymour and Welker are here. Moss was
all
less
I'm saying
surprised.
Is I didn't think there was any chance they were going to trade Randy Moss.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't put him in the same category. I didn't see it.
And LeBan, you said no WW in those tweets.
Nope, just looked it up. No two W's together.
You telling me I can't always believe what I read on Twitter?
Indeed,
Twitter-driven show.
It is. It is a Twitter-driven show. We'd like to interact with our fans.
Let's interact. I didn't know Twitter was the only way
you could do that.
Let's interact here on the emails.
It's the cool new way. It's social media.
Web radio.
You antisocial old man.
It's patriots.com.
Kenny
writes in there, guys. A couple of things. First, who do you see lining up opposite Vincent Jackson? I'd think it would be Dowling due to his height, but being preseason, think Bill will rotate corners against Jackson. Maybe we see McCourty if he still sucks against elite receivers or any receiver for that matter.
Well, I don't think the Bucs are like the Colts and just, Reggie Wayne lines up in the same spot.
They'll move him around.
So that's my whole theory with Rozai Dowling. I don't think he can cover smaller, quick guys. First of all, I'm not sure he can cover anybody at an elite level, but you can't just say, he's my guy, I'm going to match him up against big receivers. Well, unless you're going to go strict man and match up all the time, which I don't think Bill wants to do, then...
He hasn't really done a lot of that.
You can't do that. He's going to be able to cover everybody. I'm sure he'll see some of Vincent Jackson. He'll see some other people, too. So I think Dowling, getting back to that, I think Dowling would fall into that category of somebody who not has to make the team, but has to prove himself, has work to be done.
But that's kind of what I look at with Cunningham.
Well, that's why I clarified with him.
I think Cunningham is going to make the team, and I don't think there's much of a chance of Dowling not being on the team either. But
0.0.
I think it's the same kind of thing. He needs to show something. Cunningham showed something last week. Dowling hasn't even shown that.
Right. There's like 20 guys on the roster I'd put in that category that have a lot to prove.
We've seen Arrington over Dowling to this point. You expect that to continue?
Well, we actually saw Dowling over Arrington first for like the first week and a half of training camp.
Oh, no. Sorry. In the games, though.
Yeah, but then it started to phase in the other direction. I have no idea. As I said, I think on the 98.5 pregame show, Arrington's like the guy you always want to replace, but for some reason he's still always out there and starting games and making plays.
We've talked about this a lot, this whole Dowling-Arrington thing. And Andy, you've been sort of on that. Did you really remember seeing a tremendous amount of Dowling with no Arrington?
Oh,
and
God,
then Arrington comes in the slot?
Yep.
Because I remember seeing Arrington, and then Dowling comes in, and Arrington moves to the slot.
No, for like a week, it was all Dowling at right corner. And they did a lot of work in the slot. I would say probably 50-50, but it was your starting right cornerback was Rozai Dowling. And then Arrington would come in the slot. Recently, it's been Dowling will come in, bumping Arrington to the slot for the last 10 days probably. And I thought that was a dramatic
change. I've seen that. I take your word for it because I don't remember so good.
Well, he doesn't pay attention. He's always digging for that next Diet Pepsi in the ice cooler at the media tent.
Early in camp is when I'm definitely a lot sharper than I am as camp goes on. And I remember.
So what Bill says about midseason form, you don't fall into that.
No, I definitely tend to want, as soon as we get to like 3, 4, 5 days into camp, I'm looking for the regular season to start. I'm a game day performer.
Dante Monk.
Not a practice guy, you're a game day guy.
No.
You get out there, adrenaline gets going. That's Paul Perillo.
Unlike Andy Hart, though, who doesn't want to warm up?
Don't want to waste the energy.
Yeah.
I never really felt that energy.
I had all this extra energy. I always felt that I needed the energy for the actual competitive action.
Well, maybe that's where the Diet Coca-Cola picks in. The extra little pick-me-up
there. He gets that fake one. He cheats. He's like Lance Armstrong. He's doping over there for this show.
We'll continue to tick through some of these
emails. That was a stunner, huh?
Web radio.
Never saw that coming.
Fred Kirsch.
Was Fred Kirsch, who cried the day that he found out Lance Armstrong cheated.
Cried today.
Well, no, because, we knew it a little while
ago. Gotcha.
But there were literally like 10 years he thought Lance Armstrong was like on this pedestal.
Up on the soapbox? Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with this.
Guy, and I tried to tell him, and then he finally realized it, and he said sorry.
He just had the bracelets lying in the arms.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was Livestrong, not Livejuiced.
Tick through the emails here, web radio, at patriots.com. Vishon writes in from New York. Guys, wanted to comment on Andy's roster projection about Dante Stallworth. I'm on board with you, and I think he should be cut. He's been having an unimpressive preseason, and seven wide receivers on the roster seems like a bit much. Anyway, look forward to your insight and to see the Pats blow out the Bucks.
Was there a question in there?
Well, it
I
was.
I think so.
It was, I guess, Dante Stallworth related.
Well, what I wrote on the blog, I kept him. I would probably cut him. I have never been a Stallworth guy. I didn't like him the first time around. I always thought he was a basket catcher, run under the ball type guy.
But 2 weeks ago, you were saying you expected him on the roster.
And I still do.
Okay.
Because I think the Patriots expect him on the roster. This has nothing to do with what I would do. If I were
Andy has been pretty consistent about that.
There would be no Dante Stallworth. But if I'm projecting the Patriots roster, there's a Dante Stallworth. And
that's because Bill has been so effusive in his praise of Stallworth. It's hard to imagine that he would then turn around and cut him. But it looks like that might happen because I just don't think that he has a role. And I think there's guys ahead of him. You know, and that's provided, by the way, we haven't talked about the injuries. And you brought up before, what was it, Welker, Vollmer, and Chung?
I think those are the three major ones. The fourth one I was thinking of, by the way, really isn't that major, was Gaffney.
Gaffney,
yes, that was the other one I was thinking of.
That's where it comes into play here. If that's an injury, and we've seen it, Andy, with receivers, leg injuries can be extremely serious for a wide receiver. If he's going to be out, you know, say a month, they don't think he's going to be, you know, then you could see a reprieve of some sort.
Sure.
Where they keep an extra guy knowing that Gaffney's not going to be able to play.
Sure. Or even knowing, you know, that there's already an issue, and there's always going to be an issue with Branch. Even though you don't know there's an issue, there could be an issue any time with him.
No,
I think they could keep seven.
And there are some teams, to Andy's point, most notably within the division, that are really starred for wide receivers. So you might see Miami or the Jets just, you know, scoop up a guy like Stallworth. Even if he's not a great player, they just need another NFL receiver. Right now, those teams are lacking NFL receivers.
But I don't know. I mean, that doesn't play into my thinking about the Patriots.
No,
if I want him on my team,
he's
on my team.
I'm saying in terms of if you're worried about Gaffney's availability, like you said, things always happen, and you're saying, oh, I could probably just get Stallworth back. You might not be able to get Stallworth back.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If I wouldn't keep Stallworth, and I know you wouldn't either if you were making the call. I don't think Stallworth is going to make the team. The only way I see that happening is if Gaffney is at less than 100% a month from now in their minds.
Have you ever popped the little hole in the Miller lights? Does it
no.
actually do anything?
No, I haven't.
I have. Supposedly it does. I don't think it does anything.
Okay. And what is it? You're supposed to be able to drink it faster?
I think so.
Get smoother, drunk faster?
Smoother pour.
I get suckered into all those gimmicks. The Vortex bottle, every time. That thing was...
no idea.
That thing, I will buy those every day of the week.
The only gimmick...
Isn't that the way they come, though?
Well, no, they added the little Vortex.
No,
yeah, but you
yeah,
can't
know,
buy it without them.
Right. It's not like you have a choice
this,
to make.
You can choose to pop it or not.
No, you could buy another beer.
Oh, well... Yeah,
well, if you like Miller Lite, then you can't.
You go with the one that you like, not because of the gimmick.
But
this is something...
I'm telling you, I'll go for the gimmick. This is what I'm saying.
I usually do, too. And the one gimmick I like is the metal bottles with the screw on top.
Just going to say, the aluminum bottles. Love those things.
Love those.
Little more beer.
You can't find those all the time.
No, they're hard to find.
And they don't always have them in, like, big packages.
A little more beer. A little more beer. Drop them on the floor.
I've noticed I like the...
You're good to go.
The pint.
But what's the biggest, you know, like, can you get a 12? Yeah, like
no,
I don't find a lot of,
nine
like, I don't
pack?
Find, yeah, see, I don't
it's
like
a,
that.
It's like a cube.
Oh, I thought you were talking ounces.
No.
So
no,
you
no,
don't end like... up with, you know, like, you got to get the 30, you know, when you're having a, you know, a Perillo like Bash.
Mm-hmm.
Or just sitting at home alone.
I drink the least out of anybody in this room. Well, I don't know about LePan. I definitely drink less than you two.
I don't drink very much.
I don't drink at all.
It's expanded a little bit. I've gone to the
pub. Kind of a misnomer.
I'm going to go out and rummage around Country Fest here. We'll see what's going on. No, I'm not.
And then be drunk for the Sunlight post-game show?
Of course not. Of course not. That's not going to be happening here.
Am I going to find you in like a dressing room with a Jack bottle in your hand, just downing it?
Kevin, you hanging out with us in the little road game viewing
he's
pleasure?
He's just nodding.
In the,
mouth is stuffed, but he's in there nodding. Yeah.
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 Jeff Demps is catching kickoffs during warm-ups, according to Jeff Howe.
James Loney is now being thrown into that Dodgers-Red Sox trade, by the way.
Boy,
which would elevate Ben Cherington to places that I didn't think he was capable of reaching in my mind.
See, I like you guys sprinkle a little Red Sox
if
talk.
If they could trade those stiffs and get a good first baseman back.
A little Red Sox talk, a little beer talk here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Well, those two
social.
Generally go together.
Right,
so.
Live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's keep going with the emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. That's where Bill writes in. Guys, the shots come after the question. Perhaps I'm grasping at straws, but can the addition of Mankins at guard help Solder at tackle?
Yes.
Both actually and mentally. Theoretically, the same goes for Cannon, but with Vollmer replacing him, that is moot. You want to answer the question, or you want to get through some of the shots?
I think this. Yeah, I don't think it's going to magically transform him into Jonathan Ogden, but I think it will help to have a better player next to him, number one, and one that he's going to be with full time.
Yeah, I think it's minimal.
I think it's a little bit more than
and it's
you're
not out like, on an island.
It's not like they have a rapport from last year or anything.
No, he didn't play next to him all that often last year.
And I just think if your left tackle is relying on the guy next to him to make him better, then he's not your left tackle. Then he's not the guy I thought I drafted 17th overall. And he's just not good enough. He's not mentally, physically, whatever it may be. If he needs somebody else to make him better, then he's not the guy that I thought I drafted.
Bill takes a few shots here. No, Adam, I will not stay up and listen to the Sun Life postgame show. Maybe on Sunday at 1 p.m. If it starts the second game, Miami at Jacksonville if the weather stinks and if the refrigerator is full enough and if I forget everything else. He also wrote,
wow,
I listened
that, that hurt.
Yeah,
that hurt a little.
He also wrote, I listened to the fantasy show and was prepared to hate it. No matter what people say, we think of B-Lo as family. It's like how I despise everything we love, Paul. No homo, Eric. Excuse me, no homo, Eric. Sorry, no gratuitous shots at Fred and Andy. It's preseason. And again, that's Bill. And he writes, P.S., does Paul see Canada's Diet Coke? It sucks, but until Diet Pepsi gets here.
Well done.
That was good.
So that's Bill writing into web radio at patriots.com. You can weigh in there as well. Checking the Facebook page here, Matt LePan, you got a poll question for us?
We have... a little bit of a change here in
cut
the Facebook page. You're
supposed to point to them about when you're getting ready to go.
Well, we got about five or six pictures in. So.
The pictures are coming in. We have our boy Chris Harris, 28, C. Harris, 28, whatever his name is.
Cavernius,
whatever it is, with a nice photo from Raymond James Stadium.
From the front row.
Yeah.
That is posted on the Facebook page, and we have a custom-made banner from one of our fans.
Nice.
For the pregame social, and he's sending pictures in. Right nice. Now, and I'm posting those as well.
So love it.
Check it out. But
pre-game
in the
social
poll,
taking off.
Demps has dropped down a peg. He's only at 95% now. Julian Edelman's up to 5% in returning kicks for tonight. So still just a landslide.
Now, again, just to clarify, you guys are expecting no punt returns out of Jeff Demps. Not just tonight, but this season.
I don't know that. I would not
really
expect
I'm not willing to say that,
that
but I wouldn't think you'd see it right away. Although, you know, Andy brought up that Ivan Fears quote about just throwing him out there. Maybe Bill just says, you know what? I want, you know, where am I start? Where is ground zero? Where am I starting with this guy?
Could
throw
be.
Him out there.
Could be.
Who knows? I would be surprised, but you never know.
Especially with Bill.
Did you happen to hear Fears said that they refer to him, asking about his, you know, his last name, Fears, if they the players call him Fears or anything, or have any jokes with his name, and they call me Coach If. And it seemed like...
So I read it wrong, then. I read it as IF.
No,
so it's if. They're calling
Coach
him Coach If.
Huh. Yeah. Ivan Fears, get it?
What do you guys call him?
Coach.
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 He's a very nice man.
Start adding Coach If.
Coach If. Coach, if I could I go home early today? Coach, if I have to go to the bathroom.
Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Mike writes in. Guys, loving the show. I'm typing from my iPhone, so I got to keep it short and sweet. The way I see it, there's basically four or five guys all vying for a couple of spots. Edelman, Ebert, Woodhead, Demps, Ebner, and then, of course, Welker. They can only have so many active players, so keeping Welker inactive allows the coaches to really determine who gets the boot. What do you think? Now, I guess he's saying for the preseason game, keeping guys active tonight, there's no restrictions tonight.
And neither team has inactives. They put out, you know, Shalice Manza-Young, I thought it was very funny, she tweeted out the photo of the inactives, and New England offense,
just
none.
A blank
New
sheet.
England defense, none. Tampa offense, none. And she, hashtag waste of paper.
That is a pretty big waste of time and effort.
Can you read that list again, or did you already delete it?
It was Woodhead, Welker, Ebner.
My inclination was they're all on the team. Demps.
Right, Demps is another one.
They're all going to be on the team. I don't see them vying for spots, really. You know, the only one I think who's vying for, I mean.
Oh, Ebert was another one, excuse me.
Ebert's not on the team. But, yeah, Ebert I don't think has any chance to be on the team, and those other guys I think have very little chance to not be on the team. The one guy, you know, Demps, what if he just, like, can't catch the ball, and you're like, wow, he's really, like, everybody has him as a lock. I think he's the only guy who there's, like, a slight chance they just go, oh, wow, he's really not what we're looking for at this point.
If he's that far away, and he's Bill that, just looks at it and says, I don't think he can contribute.
He's just the speed guy, that Nehemiah fellow, whatever his name was. Yeah.
My God.
You know, it could be that guy.
There was also a report that his contract included approximately $200,000 of guaranteed salary, and that would help them if they wanted to cut him, because no one would want to claim the salary and pay him a guaranteed salary for the rest of the year, so maybe they could put him on the practice.
Question on Ebner,
not
by
buying
the way.
Any of that.
And this just popped into my head because of Ebert.
Not you.
But question on Ebner. Like, if they didn't show him off in preseason, or right, he started out injured, and if he didn't play in that last game, what are the chances they could have just snuck him through to the practice squad?
Ebner?
Yeah.
I think they still could. I think you could get Ebner through waivers.
You think still now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think they will, because I think, A, they want him as a special teamer, and B, I think he's shown the ability to be an emergency defender. It's a good story you might read in next week's Patriots Football Weekly.
Ah, look at that. Look at that tease by Andy Hart here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
From Mike Vrabel, Ohio State assistant coach and former Patriots stud linebacker.
I've heard of him.
He's not Nias Nehemiah.
Ronaldo Nehemiah.
Right. Ronaldo Nehemiah. Yeah, I couldn't remember the first name. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Coming up next, we head up to the press box with Eric Scalavino. We'll do that next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on patriots.com.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios. Proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now, get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new 2-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll head up to the press box in Tampa Bay momentarily here. Guys, one of the things we've been kicking around quite a bit, the availability or lack thereof of Wes Welker along with Patrick Chung and Sebastian Vollmer. Welker seems to be the one that a lot of our listeners are gravitating to, and you guys don't think it's a big deal or anything to read too much into.
No, I don't think so. But I don't have any...
But we've been wrong before.
Yeah, and I don't have any information on the situation. And like I said, we started the show with it. It's an odd thing, the amount of time that he has sort of missed practice over the last week or so. According to all the folks that were down in Tampa for the joint sessions, he wasn't part of those. Left the field early on, help me out, Andy, Friday? The day Ty Law was here?
Yes,
right?
The day Ty Law
last
was here.
Friday,
yes.
A week ago today. He left practice early that day. So, you know, I don't know if it's a physical thing or what the deal is. They're trying to save his legs a little bit. Who knows?
Breaking news off Twitter.
Nice.
Because we're Twitter-driven.
Yeah.
Logan Mankins and Sebastian Vollmer are in uniform. I expect to see Mankins. I was a little lukewarm on Vollmer, but maybe we will see.
Vollmer in uniform.
And that was one of the guys that some people reported won't play tonight,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anyone definitively reported it, but things along the lines of doesn't look like he's going to suit up, doesn't look like we'll see Vollmer tonight. That's certainly what I read.
Yeah, and now, even if he doesn't play, it tells me that it's those kind of reports were premature. I mean, if they suited him up, then he's going to be eligible to play if he needs to.
So
he,
we
you know,
could see
the starting offensive line.
Well, aside from Brian Waters' situation. But you could see a very close facsimile to the starting offensive line against the suspect Bucks front, as Roy Cummings said in many words.
Do you want to see it tonight?
See what?
Starting offensive line intact.
I didn't know where you were going there.
No.
I don't play that.
Put that away.
Andy, don't play that.
I wouldn't have waited, you know, an hour and a half into the show to ask you that. I would have gotten that out a little quicker.
Roethlisberger's a pretty good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see the starting offensive line, assuming, you know, Vollmer
doesn't
get
hurt. It's not exactly glamorous, but
he's got a small penis and he's drunk a lot. That's why he's so angry.
Who are you yelling at now there?
I forget. That was a while ago. But, yeah, why would you not want to see? I mean, this is the game. This, you know, as Vince Wilfork said, you treat this like a real game. So let's put our real offensive line out there to see what they can do. And if you guys are right, maybe that brings more confidence to Solder and he plays better. I have my doubts.
You know, I don't know. From going back and forth and reading some of the reports, I guess if the Patriots are suiting him up, we should read into the fact that he'd be ready, though they suited up Gronkowski last week. I mean, they suited up a bunch of guys who didn't get on the field last week. So we'll go up to the press box momentarily. Talk to Eric Scalavino. Let's work through some of these emails here. Radio.
I mean, we're not waiting for him. He's not worth the wait.
Webradio@patriots.com. That's where John writes in. Guys, do you think Patrick Chung is good enough to be a starting safety for any other top 10 team?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of great safeties in this.
Yeah, league. I need to hear who you're comparing him to. My guess is yes.
Could he start for Green Bay?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's your answer.
I would think.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. you know, I went with the other top 10 team that also has a terrible defense.
Yeah, and I think that I think there's safeties that are better than him, you know, around the league, but I don't think there's, you know, 32 of them.
He's a starting caliber safety. Yeah. That doesn't mean he deserves $45 million. Now we get into the whole money thing, but he's a starting caliber NFL safety who has trouble staying on the field at times.
Yeah, I agree. I like Patrick Chung a lot as a player and as a person. I think he's a good leader. I think he's good. I think he does the things that they want their players to do in terms of his preparation and his professionalism.
Except for make plays.
Tavon Wilson expected to get his reps in this thing tonight, which you guys reference as a guy we're keeping our eyes on here tonight. He and Steve Gregory on the back line. Johnny in L.A. writes in to web radio at patriots.com. Jonesy, Hartsy, Perillozy. Can't call today.
LaPanzi!
Can't call today because I'm at work, but wanted to say hello. Anyhow, I also won't be able to watch the game until NFL Network broadcasts it on Sunday, but that's cool.
And he certainly won't be able to listen to the Sunlight post-game show.
Well, I don't know if that's in there anywhere. By then, I'll have listened to this podcast and Jonesy's post-game podcast as well. Oh. Here's my lone prediction. He said podcast, though. He didn't say live.
But he's still listening.
Here's my lone prediction for tonight. Big bounce-back game for Solder. Andy may not be sold on him, but I am. Enjoy the game. Go Pats.
You know who else
better
is?
Be a big bounce back.
Dante Scarnecchia is sold on him. And that's all that really matters, because he knows a hell of a lot more than us two morons.
He was terrific, by the way, in his spirited defense this week, I thought, of the offensive line in general, but Solder and Cannon specifically.
I think a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
Not sold. And we're getting some tweets on that. At NFL Draft Update apparently said Solder had bad technique and should never have gone 17 overall. Just for what it's worth, we're Twitter-driven.
Well, he has shown some bad technique in this preseason. I will grant that.
Not good, because his whole thing should be he's a lean, athletic, good feet, technique-based, and not strong enough. Strength should be his issue.
That's the thing that we were kind of worried about. I remember you specifically, Andy, when you made that comment initially, you thought he would grow into that. He was going to need some functional strength, I think, is the way you always put it.
He's not having that yet anyway. Even beyond all the other stuff, he's getting bent over.
But now...
just absolutely bent over.
But now it's much more than just that. It's the technique stuff.
I think it's up in the ears.
He's doing a lot of thinking.
It's between the ears. He's guessing.
Too much.
He continues
Don't think, me. Just throw.
Play. Yeah, just play. I'd like to see him just play. Just say, I'm better than Adrian Claiborne. I'm going to block him. On these five plays, he is not going to sniff Tom Brady.
So we expect to bounce back at him tonight, or not we. The emailers are expecting.
Expect,
and you guys,
you see my fingers,
you guys
right?
have
They're
the
crossed.
Fingers crossed as we're here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Andy just mentioned Twitter. You can tweet in your pictures from your tailgate using the hashtag PPGS. You can also send them in to webradio at patriots.com. Joe writes in to webradio, patriots.com. Will Bolden clear waivers? And I'll add to this. What have you thought of Brandon Bolden here these last couple of games?
I think he's a guy who flashes stuff you like, flashes some speed to the outside, at times looks like a good pass catcher. Then at other times I see him dropping easy catches. I think he's looked like a guy who you'd like to develop, but not a guy you want on your football team. And I don't think he would have any trouble getting through waivers. I don't believe he would be snatched up.
Well, and I guess we've spent some time kind of talking about whether or not Woodhead will be on the team. That's kind of the other guy I go to. Like, there's no spot locked up for Brandon Bolden here.
I don't think there's a shot in Hades that he's on the team.
What do you think, Paul?
I'll be stunned if he's on the team.
Bolden clears waivers if they released him?
Oh, I think so. You know, you never know about how injuries factor into these things. You know, guys go down the next 2 weeks and then someone wants a... I think that Brandon Bolden is by all means a guy that the Patriots should want to develop further, but I don't think he has much of a chance of sticking right now. I think I mentioned this on the on PFW in Progress this week. A very similar path has been Jarvis Green-Ellis. Undrafted free agent out of Ole Miss, comes out of camp his first year, and he goes on the practice squad.
Had to help out on special teams.
But he started as a practice squad.
No, but even once he's on the roster, had to help out
Berry.
On special teams.
You lose
a couple of guys.
He was the fifth of five.
You lose a couple of guys, and then here comes Brandon Bolden.
Quick update, since Paul wants to stay on the Red Sox thing.
Apparently,
in Boston,
the Red Sox in an hour.
There is a banner at Twins, the sporting...
Thank you.
Being taken down of Adrian Gonzalez.
Oh.
And the James Loney guy scratched from the Dodgers lineup tonight.
Woo-hoo.
It's going down.
Woo-hoo.
Paul, you'll be happy to know, according to Shalice Manza-Young as well, that all of the Patriots have assembled on the field in uniform.
Including cleats?
It doesn't say cleats. It says uniform.
Because cleats aren't necessarily part of the uniform.
Chalk.
If this thing's if this whole thing,
shut up.
You don't speak all that often that you should be allowed to do that.
If this goes down, though,
this
what the trade, the Red Sox trade. When's the next year the Red Sox makes the make the playoffs? I can't. I'm stunned. I can't believe this is happening. I'm reading all this behind here.
It depends what they do after.
Yeah, it could be next year. They're going to have all kinds of money to use now.
Is that why Eric's not answering his phone? He's just blown away by these
traders. Twitter is like blown up now.
Huh?
I mean,
yo, Twitter blowing up.
Blowing up. Emails go to webradiopatriots.com. That's where Brandon writes in. Guys, looking forward to the game tonight. Two questions. Who do you think is the best skill player on the team? That's one. And what's the impact of the Titans' kickoff returner breaking his leg?
Oh, that's good for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean,
because anytime you're a team against a much lesser team, a big play on the kick return can swing momentum, swing a game.
That was a gross injury.
Yeah, I don't want to see it. So, you told me.
I haven't seen it either, and I have no desire to either.
Jeff Howe reporting that back to Twitter, Andy. Josh Barrett, Ray Ventrone, and Will Allen all on the bench in shorts and T-shirts.
Yeah, I saw that. That's why they won't be on the team.
Ray's coming back.
Hard for this to be a big day for Will Allen if he's not dressed.
The best skill position player on the team, I would go with Rob Gronkowski. I've always said, and I know we get into this discussion, Brady's obviously the best player, but I think it's harder to find a person like Rob Gronkowski on the planet than it is to find a person like Tom Brady. I think the things he did last year were absolutely phenomenal to have a guy that can block like that, that can get open like that, can catch like that, can run after catch like that. I mean, what can't he do?
He can't throw it to himself, and I think that makes the quarterback harder to find. I agree with everything that he said about Rob Gronkowski. I couldn't have any more respect for Gronk than I do. But I think an elite quarterback is harder to find than an elite tight end.
I disagree, but...
We'll keep working our way through the phone calls.
Because I don't think there's another guy in the NFL
But it would be
like
a pretty boring show if we
witness the closest guy, so there's probably two.
Yeah, you got to do a little
more quarterbacks.
Little point and counterpoint. You know, that's kind of
where
you guys
get
to come from.
I think that Gronkowski is the best tight end in football, but I think there are comparable guys to him more probably than there are quarterbacks.
I think the exact opposite.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think, first of all, in Rodgers and Breeze, you have three quarterbacks, and if Manning can come back, you have four that are, to me, in the same conversation. They are elite, great passers. I think Witten is the only guy that's in the conversation with Gronkowski in terms of great tight end.
No Graham.
I think Graham's a pass catcher. Now I think there's a lot of those guys.
Yeah,
if you want me to include those guys,
so you're talking,
just pure pass catchers.
You're talking well-rounded.
I'm talking about guys who can do it all.
Yeah, okay. Work our way through the phone calls.
And if we're going to talk about do it all, then I think you put Aaron Rodgers atop Brady because
he can run.
He can run. He's more athletic. So I think Aaron Rodgers would be the Rob Gronkowski of quarterbacks.
I actually give Rodgers the nod because of that. I think he gives an element that even Brady doesn't have.
508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Continue to get in touch there. But first, let's head up to the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly, joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from Tampa Bay. Eric, we've been kicking around the idea that Wes Welker likely isn't going to suit up or play in this thing. What do we know about Welker's situation?
Well, you're spot on, Pac-Man. He's not suited up. He's nowhere in sight, actually. There are a few other guys who aren't dressing tonight but are here in shorts and T-shirt on the sideline. Don't see Welker among them, so... Doesn't look good for Wes Welker participating and or spectating, at least on the field tonight.
The offensive line, I saw that you had a tweet recently, Eric. Looks like it could be interesting tonight. Vollmer is out there taking reps at right tackle. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the first group that went out there in warmups had Vollmer at right tackle, Donald Thomas, right guard, Dan Connolly, starting center, Logan Mankins, left guard, and Nate Solder at left tackle. That was an interesting development there, because we haven't really seen Connolly taking any center snaps, to speak of, significant ones, since the very beginning of training camp. And here he is out there tonight taking first-team snaps. Ryan Wendell, curiously, too, taking the second-team snaps. Haven't really seen Dan Copen doing much.
Copen getting closer and closer to possibly not being on this football
team. I'm excited about Vollmer being out there ready to go so quickly.
Yeah, I'm scared. If he's on the field, it's just an opportunity for hurt his back.
Jeez.
I'm scared of him. I think he's damaged goods. You're the one who led this parade. I don't know why you give me that. You've been scared of him since the day we drafted him. Now he's just more injury prone week by week here. But Eric, on the defensive side of the football, have you seen anything there? And I'm particularly interested in the secondary, not only given the injury to Patrick Chung, but also kind of how we've seen Arrington and Dowling used of late. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, it looks like we'll start with the safeties. No Chung, obviously. He hasn't been at practice. He's not out there tonight either. We're seeing Steve Gregory and the rookie Tavon Wilson paired up in the back there. As far as your corners, you've got Devin McCourty, his usual spot on the left corner, and Kyle Arrington on the other side. Rozai Dowling going, getting reps right now with the twos.
Now, what do you make of Tavon Wilson, Steve Gregory pairing? It seems like they kind of lack a in the box safety there in the mold of Chung, and it's kind of two similar, more free safety types, former corner types. How do you think that'll unfold in this game against a team that probably going to run the football quite a bit?
Yeah, they do like to run the ball, and actually Vince Wilfork was telling me the other day that, you know, it's good to go up against a team that likes to do that, that likes to run the ball, because they don't, you know, see that very often in practice against their own offense. at least not to the extent that Tampa Bay does. They have bigger type backs, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, it is interesting because Josh Barrett, who is the biggest safety on the team, is one of those guys I mentioned earlier who is on the sideline but in shorts and a t-shirt. So, you know, he might have had a chance to contribute tonight maybe more regularly than he would normally do without Chung being in there, and he would certainly be a candidate to be your in-the-box kind of guy. But he's not available tonight. So your second group of safeties was James Ahedebo and Nate Ebner, the other rookie. Yeah, it's a little bit thin in the middle, you know, at the safety spot tonight. But hopefully, the front seven guys can handle that, and you won't need to see the safeties making too many tackles inside the box.
All right, we've touched on offense, we've touched on defense, but the most important thing of the night is special teams.
Absolutely.
Paul's making some signs to me, so I don't know what he's saying.
Is he giving you the finger?
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
No, I was just trying to be professional.
Because I am.
But
you
as
can't
usual.
See it right now, but I am.
Did you want to ask a question? I don't know what you were gesturing.
I believe that was a Jeff Demps question.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my question was.
I was. Never mind.
I don't know what Paul's doing. Jeff Demps, did he look fast?
Yes, he does very much so. It was funny in warm-ups. He was the first guy out there, and I know everybody loves this term, game pants. But he was very early out in the field for warm-ups, and he was doing, you know, when you watch the Olympics and the sprinters are out there warming up on the track, they do that really exaggerated arm swing and the leg kick.
Yep.
He was doing all that warming up, which was, you know, not unusual, really, I guess, for a guy who just finished his Olympic career. But yeah, he looks really fast, really quick. And he was returning kickoffs, during pregame warmups and looked like he was handling the ball pretty well. The first day he was back, you know, he had a little trouble with ball security in the opening half hour of practice, but seems to have gotten, the rust knocked off. And, I'm excited to see him go tonight. I don't know if we're going to see him take the opening kickoff or at least the first kickoff, but, I expect to see him at some point tonight.
Have we seen him return any punts?
No, and I was looking out for that, but you had your usual suspects there, Edelman, Ebert, and they had Deion Branch out there working on punt returns. But
have you seen him?
Demps was concerned mainly with the kickoffs.
On the practice field at all the last couple days?
Well, on the practice field, we were only allowed a half hour, and, you know, most of that was stretching. We didn't see any team drills, and the only thing Demps worked on special teams-wise during practice that we saw was kickoff handling.
Did you get to see him sort of in, you know, full gear, as Andy said, you know, just like how fast? Could you get a read of just, you know, how impressive he was? Or did you not have...
Speed-wise, Paul? Is that what you said?
Absolutely.
I couldn't hear you there. It's getting a little loud here in the press box.
Yes.
Party in Tampa!
Well, it is a great pregame spread there in Tampa, so...
It is.
I can understand how loud it must be. But, no, just I know it's a limited sightings at the joint practices, but did you get a feel for just how fast he was?
Actually, Paul, I got a better feel tonight watching him out on the field here at how fast he was. In practice, he was really, you know, he was working a lot, you know, getting some one-on-one work with special teams coach Scott O'Brien, doing a lot of talking, you know, showing him things that the way they wanted stuff done. And, he only did, you know, he caught the ball in those warm-ups where you're only running half speed as it is. So, really, tonight was the first time I got to see him do something going all out, and he really looked good.
And are you excited that the Red Sox are trading Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, and Carl Crawford to the Dodgers?
Well, there is a buzz that's been going on since we got on the bus.
It should be.
Around 4:30 this afternoon. That's when, you know, news started circulating, and yeah, we've been talking about it throughout the night.
Patriots' third preseason game is not going to be the sports story of the night in New England. Not even close. I don't care if Tom... Well,
I gotta
tell you, say what I was just gonna say.
But. I gotta tell you, it's good news for the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, this Red Sox trade. Let me tell you, I am absolutely geared up for this.
You're on Patriots.com. It's football. Screw the Red Sox and talk football.
Well, you know, it's funny you guys talk about it. The trade talk that was generated earlier in the week with Jim Irsay of the Colts.
Yes.
Had some people around here wondering whether or not Welker's absence from practice was related to something along the lines of a trade, maybe to Indianapolis. And that, I got to say, it's obviously taking, you know, second stage to the Red Sox trade talk tonight. But that's another thing that's swirling around this press box tonight.
Yeah, because that's a good trade rumor. This is a great trade that looks like it's actually going to happen. And there's a big difference between those two things.
And it didn't stop us, by the way, Eric, from spending 20 minutes discussing the possibilities of Welker being dealt.
We've also been posed the proposal of Maurice Jones-Drew and a Wes Welker swap.
Wow, that would be interesting. I mean, I was actually talking to Freddie about MJD the other day and whether or not he would fit in this offense. And it looks like, you know, we were tossing that around and thinking, well, he's basically another, you know, short little back like they already have plenty of, but he'd be the biggest back on the roster.
He's a bowling ball
body that he has, right.
Those thighs.
I don't know if they'd want to pay him the money that he's probably expecting. That's the only thing I think that would hold up that kind of trade.
No, and I don't think they would be really interested in acquiring a back like that. And you're right, he has a contract that he's under. Now, you wouldn't have to worry about the bonus money he already got paid, but he had a big deal. He obviously wants
$4.5 million or something.
It doesn't fit in with what they want to be on offense, and that would make no sense. The Colts thing would make more sense. If you could get, you know, a first-round pick for Wes Welker or a high pick for Wes Welker, that would make a lot of sense. Paul would not do it. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And even if you're going to
pick
him,
I would do it only with some assurances.
Finish, what, you know, in the bottom 10, so they get a top 10 probably pick. So you're looking at a pick in the late 30s, maybe the early 40s at the most. So that would be a decent pick. I mean, it makes sense. I don't know if I'd necessarily like it from a team chemistry perspective, but I think it would make business sense.
I hear you. All right, well, enjoy the spread, whether that be in the press box or some of the other famous places they have in Tampa. I actually got Eric to laugh.
Yeah, that was good.
Usually he just shakes his head at you and calls you a child.
So far to be inappropriate, and you saved the best for last.
That's because he really likes it when I tease him about girl things rather than the other option.
That's true.
All right, gotta go.
Guys. All right. Good stuff, Eric.
All right. Eric Scalvino, Patriots Football Weekly, joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Before you move on, Adam.
Yeah.
Andy.
Yeah.
You're the Colts. Forget the Patriots. You're the Colts.
Yeah.
Would you do the deal?
No.
First round pick for Welker?
No.
I wouldn't either.
So would anyone?
I don't know. Maybe Irsay.
No.
Who knows? The guy spent millions of dollars on a scroll.
No, I mean, like, would any team is what I mean in the NFL give up a first rounder for Welker?
I would in the right situation. If I'm a Wes Welker away from winning, if I can win the Super Bowl, if I have everything, and I think a possession slot receiver that can make me that much better on offense, if I already have the big play, you know, Detroit or somebody, and I have the big play guy, I have a running back, I have a quarterback, I feel like I'm just a Welker away.
One more weapon. I need one more weapon, then I would do it.
The Colts need a few more than one.
Yeah, I don't think Welker impacts their one loss record.
They're good enough to win, he's done.
Yeah.
And again, good food for thought, but you guys don't think there's
anything.
Ain't
gonna happen.
You guys don't think there's anything to it, just to reiterate here. You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We referenced a few different things here on the pregame show, just looking at what are you looking for out of the team tonight. You guys highlighted a few different players, guys who have an awful lot to prove on the roster bubble potentially tonight. One of the guys I will be interested in seeing is Tavon Wilson and how he lines up back there along with Steve Gregory. And honestly, Gregory as well. You know, we'll see. Without Pat Chung back there, how does he look? Does he look exposed or anything along those lines? Well, so that's something I'd be curious in seeing, because we only saw the starting defense for, what, two series last week, three series?
And you're talking about two safeties who now only have been here for a month, you know, learning the system in a rookie and a first-time free agent here. But I really think this is an interesting matchup for them physically, because I think both those guys were brought in to match up with spread offenses, the passing game that is the modern NFL. I'm not sure you're going to see that from the Bucs. I think Shiano's a little bit more old school. He's got LeGarrette Blount. He's got Doug Martin. He's got some big backs that he can run. He's got a big offensive line that they've invested a lot of money in. So I think you could see them run at, and are those guys capable of tackling, you know, coming up in the box and hitting a big back and taking him to the ground?
that's one other thing I want to keep an eye on, too. Just the first team defense.
Because
what we've seen out of them, two series against Drew Brees, 1-4 for 4 yards or whatever it was, like just barely over a series against the Eagles, and they knocked out Mike Vick.
Broke Vick in half.
On the second drive.
That's the thing I wanted to... there's been a lot of enthusiasm about how, you know, good this defense has looked, and I
Paul wants to put an end to that.
No. I want to see it.
Wants to pour a little Diet Coke on that.
I want to see it, like Adam just set up, for an extended period of time, not a series here, a series there.
And you're going to get the chance.
I think you're going to get to see it tonight. So that's one thing, just as a
group. But we've seen it before in Tampa.
I got to tell you, people in this city, they're going to be talking a lot about this Red Sox trade. You want to talk about this game tonight, I'll give you a forum to do it. Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. We will welcome in all your thoughts on this game tonight. All right, guys, you're going to go enjoy this thing, and we'll talk to you next week when the Patriots take on the Giants in their fourth and final preseason game. And I'll talk to you following this one on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Play action fake by Flacco. Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right. It is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.